Hello, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And this is our first live show of 2011.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Because we just took off for the holidays and they were playing reruns.
We were partying.
So we weren't here for Christmas Eve. They did play the Star of Bethlehem tape. We've played that every year since I started the show. Because everybody really loved that. And then, I don't know what they played last week for New Year's Eve, but now this is a live show tonight because we are here. And I've been more or less taking a hiatus. I've been staying home. See, it's been 2 weeks now.
Right.
And I've got another couple of weeks to go because I deliberately blocked off a part of the calendar so I was not going to see any clients. Nope, getting on airplanes. Just stay at my house because I'm working on new books. And this is the only way I can get it done is just to shut everything else out and just stay home and work on them. And everybody, the emails and our classes, everywhere we go, all over the world, they keep saying, when's the next book coming out? And, of course, they're all saying Convoluted 4. Mm-hmm. I've got way too much material for Convoluted 4. That's why it's going to be broken down, and that's part of what I've been working on. There's so much, it's going to have to end up being three books. I thought at first it'd be four, but I think I can combine some of it together. There is the convoluted material, which is always the most complicated, but then we have all the other material that is it's separate. So I decided to just make a separate book just on it. So the first book that I've almost got it finished. Mm-hmm. It's really coming along fast. As long as I don't have any interference, I can finish it.
Right. So.
It, the first book is going to be on the three waves of volunteers, because that's the one we get the most response about. And I've lectured on everywhere, and I've talked on the show about it, the three waves of volunteers that have come in to help with the shift into the new earth. Mm-hmm. And so we have so much information on that and so many cases that I decided to make a book just about that. And then we had some people saying, why don't you just make a book about 2012 mm-hmm. and about the new earth.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, well, we could put it all together. So right now it's a book in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sense of putting it into Convoluted 4 or anything. It ends up being a book by itself. And it is current because everybody, we get so many emails of people saying, I'm one of the first wave, I'm one of the second wave, and they're really identifying with it. So that's one that I think will come out first. That's the one I've been focusing on now. But then there's more material. Well, we have a lot of material about life after death that have not published before. Of course, nothing contradicts what I've already written, but it always is good to have verification. Mm-hmm. Then I've got a lot of material on ancient knowledge that we all had way back before we came to Earth. We lived in other lifetimes where we were in secret societies or where they were priests or magicians and people that had the Gnostic secret knowledge. I've got many, many cases of that. So I wasn't sure whether to keep that as a separate book or to add it to the Convoluted Four. So anyway, it's not a bad dilemma to have, is to have too much information. But the only way to do it is just to turn into a hermit and stay here on my mountaintop and not see anybody and put all of this together. So I will say there will be more books.
Yes.
This first one will be the three waves.
Mm-hmm. Probably out in a few months, actually on the shelves.
So. I think so, because it is coming along real fast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones, maybe by summer, I know we'll have, maybe we'll have Convoluted 4 out. Mm-hmm. The other two.
Yeah, if we can get you to take a little more time off, you probably could, because you start working. I mean, you get done fast then.
Yeah, so. Once I don't have to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our real trips out of the country don't begin until summer, I believe.
Late summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're going to be doing a tour of the United States again in July like we did last year.
Right.
and I've been to Canada.
Right. And I promise everyone I'll be getting the schedule up on current on the website. We've just been had a lot of things happening, so it's taking me a little bit. We're still finalizing all of those plans, too. So.
Yeah, they're trying to get the venues set up at a lot of these places and the classes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next trip out of the country will be next month in February when we go to Hawaii. But we're going to go into the island of Maui this time. And that's where we're going to have the class. And then we'll come back directly to Burbank and have another class there. But we're still finalizing the venue in Maui, aren't
we? Yeah, looks like we're coming in on it real close. We'll have it by Monday.
So. Okay, because we are getting a lot of requests, and we're having a lot of people sign up for Burbank.
Yes.
People are even coming from foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't encourage that, but they say they want to come to the next class that
right.
we have.
Right.
And then we're going to have one here in Arkansas. Is that
the first weekend of April.
Of April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I do still have several months here. Between these trips that we can finish the books anyway.
Right.
But when I'm working with clients, that takes a lot of my time and energy
right.
and focus.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they're important, too, to help
Absolutely.
The people.
Absolutely.
But that's where my material comes from. But I don't want to say that's the only reason I do it, because I do hundreds and hundreds of cases, and there may be only a handful that make it into the books.
Right.
The vast majority of them are helping the people with whatever their problems are and their illnesses and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm working with the people, that's my main concern, and I write at night, but still it's hard to do it all when you're seeing clients. So I'm getting a lot done right now. Okay, I forgot. I got to give out the toll-free number. And we really want people to call in tonight, because we're just going to be talking about various things, and we could use your questions and comments. The toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756, 888-815-9756, if you want to ask any questions. But I do hope that's going to help people to understand now that I am working on the books.
Well, like they didn't believe you before? You've been working on them a long time. You've always been working
on
them.
Oh, yeah. So. On this material, it's taken, the last year or more. I've been we've had the tapes transcribed,
right.
and we've had to put them into...
Right, and you knew you had more than one book there, so it was just
I always
a matter of
do.
How was it going to start dividing itself. So.
Yeah, because that was the beginning work, and now it was deciding... putting them in piles,
right.
which is going to go into what book.
Right.
So a lot of it was done before, so I have been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean is everywhere I go, people say, when is the next book coming out?
Mm-hmm.
And what about Convoluted 4? Is it, when's it coming out? I said, well, it's still in my computer.
Right. Well, I think it's just because of the way the times are and everything. They know, more and more people know things are happening. They can see it. And so that... The convoluted books are like a guidebook, you know, through this, and that helps. So they're just wanting to know what's the latest information and helping them through
and
it.
There is so much, and I keep getting more all the time, too, but that's why you have to have a downtime to put it together. That's what happened with Convoluted 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was still getting information, and then I hit a point where all of a sudden my sessions were just the ordinary
kind. Well, I think it was when you said, I have to stop here, because you kept coming in with more cases. I was like, we can't keep adding. We've got
to
stop.
We have to get the book to print, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, these books keep growing, and they're very big books.
Right.
People don't care. They like to read them.
Right.
But I just finally said, guys, I've got to get this to print. And then everything, I still saw clients, but it was...
Right.
The ordinary clients. I didn't have the other.
Right.
Okay, is somebody there?
Yeah, hi, Dolores.
Okay. And we heard a beep. That's the only way we know if somebody's on the line. Do you have a question?
I'm here. Yeah, hi, Dolores. This is Beau. I live in New York City.
Oh, okay. You're snowed in, aren't you?
Well, actually, it's a lot better now. It was just pretty much cleared out. So, I mean, we're okay now, but thanks for the concern. I, my question is, and allow me to say this before my question, I just learned about you about a week ago, And since that time, I've been to the public library. I've been reading The Guardians. I've read They Walked with Jesus, and I'm three-quarters of the way through Convoluted Universe Part 3. So, like, this whole week has been Dolores week, pretty much for me.
And your brain's twisted.
Yeah. This is a whole new world for me. So, actually, like, I could take the whole hour on the show because I have a list of questions, but...
Okay.
The one that I want to ask.
Don, I will. Your name is Don, isn't it?
I don't think so. What did you say your name was? Say that again.
It's Bo.
I'm still not understanding
just
the name.
Bo. Bo.
Bo. Okay.
Oh, Bo. Okay. Well, anyway, Bo, this is what's happening at all of my lectures. We just got back from going all over the world, which you wouldn't know if you just discovered me a week ago. And everywhere we go, the audience is full of people saying, "We just discovered you." And
yeah.
That's so funny because I've been doing this work for 40 years. And now, all of a sudden, you're an overnight sensation.
Yeah.
I think
well,
it's the Internet.
You are.
The Internet generation.
Yeah, to me, you are an overnight sensation. I heard you say earlier in your show that a lot of people are saying that they're first wave, second wave. And I believe I'm first wave. Like, I just believe it based on what I've read in your books and that sort of thing. But I don't want to take up too much time. My question is this, is what is the best way to remove karma? And how do you know if you have karma?
What is the best way to remove karma, and how do you know if you have karma?
Okay, that's one of the things I lecture.
If you have to ask that question, you probably don't.
No, because I've lectured on that also. But see, you accumulate karma from all of the lives you've ever lived. But some of the ones that are coming in now, the ones that are the volunteers that have never lived on Earth before, don't have karma.
Right.
And so when they come in, they have more or less like a sheath, a covering put over them, the soul part, so that they won't accumulate karma. Because if you do, you'll be stuck here. And you'll have to stay because you got to come back and repay it.
Which is why he's asking the question.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
Yeah,
that's exactly why I'm asking the question.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But if you have karma, well... You know, karma is paying back things that you've done to other people.
You can usually tell if you have karma by if things, I would think it's if patterns or things that you keep getting into, then those are things you're looking to learn something from or you're needing to replay and repay. I also, usually things that are karmic get under your skin. They bother you, and so that's where it's pushing a button, and that's why you have to deal with it. So what do you think? I mean, that I don't know how to tell you have karma.
But in my work, see, I see a lot of people who have gone through many lives with the same people, because if you don't work it out in one life, you come back the next life with the same people to try to work it out again. So if you have people in your life that are really... you have a lot of problems with, I mean, you can't stand them, that means you've got karma with them. Does that make any sense?
Okay. Yes, it does.
Now, the other part of the question is how do you get rid of karma?
But, you know, usually, like I say, most people is parents or husbands or wives or something, and there's things there that you're still trying to work out. But the main thing is to get rid of the karma and not accumulate any more. Well, what we found, the best way to get rid of karma is to forgive.
Right.
And that's why you have to realize who you have karma with.
You don't have to realize it to let it go.
But sometimes there are certain individuals.
Yeah, but you still don't have to realize it. Remember that you have that. We have that general one that you're forgiving and being forgiven of everything you've ever done.
Yeah, that's the one that Blair does with his. You know, that anyone I have ever hurt in this life or any other life, I forgive.
I ask forgiveness.
How does he word it?
I ask forgiveness of all those I have hurt in this life, in any way at all. and I forgive all those who have hurt me in this life, in any way at all. And I forgive myself for my transgressions and my, that's part I always mix up on, but it's mainly my transgressions, so my bad decisions. So.
Yeah, because some
Well, I'm assuming that when one says that pledge or the forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
that you can't just simply say it. You have to, like, really mean it.
You have to mean it, and you will feel, because you have to let go. You have to let go of this stuff. And so, yeah, and well, he just says, say it every day. It's a great way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you have to mean it. So you might want to do it in a ritual or something to where it really has meaning for you. And
yes, we're talking about Blair.
How do you know when you've cleared it?
Oh, you'll feel it.
You'll feel it, and then you'll notice a shift in those relationships. You'll notice a shift in those situations. It will just take on different air. One thing, it won't bother you like it had been. It just, you know, it'll just move. It may be small moves at first, but it. Sometimes the person that you're having a problem with just completely drops out of your life. I mean, really quickly, because it's like that's it. It's over. Sometimes it just happens gradually. They move out, but the main thing is it doesn't bother you. It becomes a neutral territory. Now it doesn't go to an emotion.
Well,
you know,
they can't push their buttons anymore because there are a lot of people.
Right.
That's what they do. It's a game with them. They know what to say or what to do to aggravate you, and they push the buttons. Well, after you do this, you forgive them and release them, it doesn't have any effect on you anymore. But, yeah, the secret is to really mean it. You can't just say the words.
Right. Now, the one that you have, or you were saying, where you have to know who it is, you know, and that's a beautiful one because you can feel it when you do it.
Yeah.
That one part in it's very powerful. So.
Well, see, the man we were talking about, you haven't been in this enough to know. His name is Blair Styra from New Zealand, and we have done many lecture tours with him, and he is a psychic. And in his lectures, this is what he always says, is I forgive anyone I've ever harmed in this life and any life.
Right.
That's the way he says it. But what I usually tell people, if you know particularly maybe one person in your life, no matter who it is, who has really has bothered you and you have a hard time forgiving them, see, if you don't forgive them, that's when you accumulate karma. My clients will say, well, I can't forgive them. You don't know what they've done to me. But see, then you're not hurting anyone but yourself.
Right.
So
Let me ask this, Dolores. What if I am the one who has done wrong?
Then you're asking for forgiveness. You're asking to be forgiven
of yours by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But you don't have to go. You don't have to go to the person that you have wronged and do it physically. That's too hard. A lot of people can't do that. Mm-hmm. So what I always tell them to do is mentally, you picture the person. And then you'd mentally, if you have wronged them, then ask them for forgiveness in your mind.
That's great advice.
You got to really mean it.
Now, can I ask a follow-up question, or is everybody going to yell at me?
No, but she's got a little bit more if you want. She's got a really sweet thing that she has people say that is very, very effective. So if she can do that, and then you can do your follow-up, and nobody will yell at you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Because most of the time, people are angry with something someone has done to them. And maybe it's repeated since childhood even. It's the same people, but they have to let it go. You have to forgive them or you're not going to move on, and the karma will keep following you, and it'll tie you to the earth. So what I tell them to do, even if the person has died, it doesn't make any difference. You don't go to them physically. You do it in your mind. You picture them. And see, one thing, if you haven't read enough of my books, when you come into a life, you make a plan of what it is you hope to accomplish. And also, you make contracts with different people. This is what we're going to do. We didn't do it so good last time. Let's go back and do it again. This time you be the husband, I'll be the wife, you be the mother, I'll be the child. You switch roles around any way you want. So you make contracts with these people. But we get in here, we forget, and that's all part of the law of how all of this works. So you get in here, and it's not working. Well, now we're at this point where the veil is standing, and we can see what's really going on. So that's when we say, okay, I'm not going to drag this around anymore with me because it just keeps causing problems. So that's when you mentally picture the person in your mind, and you say this to them. Not physically, but in your mind. We tried, we really tried, and it's not working. Let's tear up the contract. And you see yourself literally tearing up the contract with that other person and throwing it away. Then you say, I forgive you, I release you, I let you go. You go your way with love, I go my way. We don't have to be connected anymore. And when you say that, you mean it.
Mm-hmm. And that tearing up the contract is very powerful.
It is.
And now, do I have to write it down?
No, this is just your own personal thing. You can do it however you want to do it, whatever feels good to you, but it's just those steps, you know. But that tearing it up and then releasing is very, very powerful, and you'll feel it. You'll feel this weight come off of you.
And they can't have no power over you anymore. It doesn't matter what they do. Like I said, they can't push your buttons. But then you have to forgive yourself, mm-hmm. which is difficult. None of this is easy. The forgiving of the other people is not easy, and forgiving yourself is not
easy. But remember, we set these things up, these situations up to learn, and it's just you're saying, okay, I've learned. You know, we've gone as far as we can go with this. Let's call it enough, you know. So, because you start going into patterns, then it's we're spinning our wheels. We're not gaining anything. So.
Not accomplishing anything. So let's just let it go. We tried. We really tried, and that's all we can do. And so then you let it go, and you've got to really mean it, and you release it. See, dragging this karma around is what causes a lot of the illness, too. I call it the baggage and the garbage. Junk, you know.
Well, and you were saying you wronged someone, and it might be very cathartic for you. I mean, if you are you opposed to asking for forgiveness? I mean, I know, like you said, physically is really hard, but sometimes that's really what we want. We want some closure by letting them know, look, I know I hurt you. And
is that possible? Do you think you could go to the person and ask them to forgive you?
Oh, I'm definitely strong enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. It's difficult. It's hard.
And whether or not they do, that's not really important. I think it's more for you that you do it, and then you can go on with this next step and then finish it. But that may be really, that gives closure, I think, a lot of times, especially when you're on that side of it.
But that's why it's so hard to do it physically, so we can do it mentally.
Right.
And their part of their mind will receive it, and they'll hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You may not think they will, but that part of their mind hears everything, even though they
like
don't
consciously
remember
it. If I live in New York City and this person lives in Michigan,
doesn't
I can
matter.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so I can do it myself and find efficiency.
Right.
Because you mm-hmm. see, if you get into this, you'll realize all our minds are connected anyway,
mm-hmm.
and
I am
all you have to do,
yes.
yeah, you have to
our energy, our mind, we're all connected, and so you just tap right into that energy, to their energy, and you're right there. It doesn't matter how many miles are between you, you're right there, and
just picture mm-hmm. them in your mind, and you have to mean it, you have to believe it, then you release it. Just like a balloon flowing out,
right.
you know, up in the air, and you can visualize it any way you want to, and
right.
it's gone.
Yeah, and it'll shift. It'll shift to whatever's best, you know, for the whole situation. So, but it will shift. You know, we can't.
And that's how you remove. That's how you remove negative thoughts, also.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, release them.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what it's
I don't
all
need you. So,
yeah.
You had a follow-up
yeah
question.
I did, and I think it might be like a true follow-up question, because my purpose for asking all of this is, like, I feel I'm an indigo adult, and I want to make certain I'm on the path to ascension and not be stuck here. So you've answered my karma question very well, and I guess my follow-up, how do I know for sure if I'm on the path to ascend?
That's a biggie.
It is a biggie. One person told us, actually it was Julia Hansen was the first one that said, because I'd asked that, how do we know? And she said, if you're aware, then you are.
Well, if
you
even
so,
know anything is happening.
Right. And see, and that's being aware. You're aware that, you know,
that
you're
something is
yeah,
going
see,
on.
You're waking up. Well, you wouldn't be awake if you weren't ascending. You know, if the veil wasn't thinning for you. I mean, it is for everybody, but some people still choose not to see anything. So they said, if you're aware, then you are. So
because in my books, they talk about people sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea anything's going on. They just go to work every day. They go home. They don't have any idea of anything. But if you know something is going on, like she said, you're becoming aware of it, you are ascending.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones who don't, who just...
Well, and even those, we can't really stand in judgment and say we can tell who is and who isn't, because we can't tell.
No.
But one thing they said for sure is if you're aware, then you are. So that's
yeah
one thing that we, I guess, that's an internal knowing, because you know if you're aware or not. So
maybe that's
well,
why you're beginning.
Well, I'm definitely aware now.
Yeah, see?
See, maybe that's one of the reasons why.
Thanks to Dolores' books. I just stumbled on
yeah
you through YouTube one day, just, you know, looking here, looking there, and then you
uh-huh
popped up and was just fascinated.
And then she consumed the rest of your week.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
You know,
that now you're beginning to read, you're beginning to open up and want to learn, you're definitely on the path.
Mm-hmm. But
and
I
just
think
ordered
when
three
people ask that question, then they are. So.
And I just ordered three more of your books yesterday, Dolores.
But some people never even occurred to them, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going.
Well, there's a few more. She's got 15 out there, so you.
15 books, and I'm writing more. But
well,
I am going to be in the. I'm going to be in the New Hampshire area, aren't we?
No. Yeah, Boston. We'll be in Boston.
Boston, mm-hmm, just above Boston in New Hampshire. We'll be there in July.
The end of June, right middle end of
yeah
June, somewhere.
On that's the beginning.
Where can I find that information?
I don't have it on the website yet, but I will probably in the next week. I'll have it on there. Do you have our website?
And which website is it?
You can go, actually it needs to be ozarkmt.com. That's Ozark Mountain. Ozark Mountain Publishing.
It's probably
if
in
you
the
have
book.
If you have one of the books, it's in on the title. It's on the front of the book.
Okay, good enough.
Right,
I'll get
okay
it there.
Yeah. Anyway, right, on there we have a schedule of events, and that will tell when things are happening. But I don't have all of that up yet because we're still finalizing it. But I will have it probably in the next week or so.
But I was thinking that's pretty
what
close,
do you
to
say,
where, close to where
what
you are.
What do you
are
say, Dolores, about people who are diehard Christians, believe in the Bible, the Jesus, the God story that's in the Bible?
This is somebody else, isn't it?
No, this
is
still
Bo.
Okay, because I heard a beep like
no,
somebody
was,
else.
No, he hit the phone.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody else was coming in. Okay, now what was the question about the Bible?
Like, for people who are diehard Christians, believe the Bible is directly the
yeah
Word of God. There was no revision. They believe in the Jesus, God, Christian version.
Yeah.
Are they okay?
Well, see, that's where we can't...
You can't judge.
We can't judge. We are not in a position, from this vantage point, we can't tell. You don't know what someone's soul plan is, what they're, you know, and maybe they're teaching others, or they're having an experience by being a diehard Christian. They're learning maybe one last thing that they really wanted to learn
mm-hmm
before they ascend. And we don't know their soul plan. So from this perspective, we can't tell. That's why I'm saying it has to be like you know if you're ascending, but you know if you're aware and if you're moving. So, and that's what I said. Those, for sure, are moving. The others, you know, we don't know their whole plan, and we definitely can't stand here and try to judge them by what they're doing, and to know that, because only they on their soul level knows what they're doing.
Well, in my books, we were told you're not supposed to try to convert anybody, because if you try, you're just going to turn them away. They won't listen to you at all. So we have the information, and whenever they get ready, they'll begin asking questions. And once they start asking questions, then you drop little crumbs. I say you don't ever give them the whole loaf. You just drop a few crumbs and then see if they can understand that. Then you're beginning to plant some little seeds. Mm-hmm. You remember in the Bible, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. And what he meant, he didn't mean that these people were pigs. He just meant that they would not understand the value of the information. So you don't give them the whole thing. You give them, I always say, drop little crumbs and see if they take that. If they don't, well, wait till they're ready.
But you planted some seeds, and,
yeah,
and seeds take time to germinate and grow. And so that's where you just go, well, you know, I planted some seeds out there, and you let it go. That's another one. You never be, I just dropped that word. Tied to the outcome. You know, you put some stuff out there, and you don't know down the road. I had it happen in high school. I had somebody I approached, my best friend in high school, and I said something to her about reincarnation, and she just came back at me and was like, oh, my God, you know, no, there's no such thing. And a few years later in college, she came back, and she's telling me all about reincarnation, forgetting that I was the one that introduced it to her. But I just, you know, you just let it go, and you let them. But see, it took time to germinate and grow, and she accepted it and grew with it and, you know, never remembered where it started.
But the idea is don't argue with people.
Right.
Don't argue with people. Don't try to convince them, because then it's a losing battle. You know how you feel when they try to change your beliefs.
Right.
I've never had a belief until this week. I've been a seeker my entire life. And this week I found the belief that fits me, that works for me, that makes me feel I found the path.
Yeah, it resonates. That's what we say, find what resonates with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why people telling you things isn't going to mean anything. You have to find it yourself.
Right. And then,
I've taken up a lot of time. I'm gonna say my goodbyes, Dolores. I very much appreciate it. I've emailed you, and I even made an appointment to see you a year from now, because that's the soonest I can.
Well, that's one thing I want to say. I do read the emails. We get a tremendous amount of emails, and there's no way I could answer them all. Mm-hmm. But I do read them.
Right.
Some people email us, and then we email a week later, why didn't you answer my email?
Right.
So I want anybody out there who's listening to know I do read them. It's just that it's impossible to answer them all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you so
just
much.
Just remember the name Bo Bradley.
Bo Bradley, all right.
All right. Okay.
sounds like a Bojangles song or something.
Something like that. Well, thank you so much for your time. Okay. Sincerely, I will be every week at this time, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Unless
all right,
traveling.
I'll be on next week. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Bo.
Okay.
And while he's off, I'm going to finish one last thing. He was talking about another thing that you can do, like you said, drop crumbs and everything. Then you teach by example. You live what you believe. You live, you know, you just live what you believe. And then people, that affects people around you. And then they start coming and they, you know, you walk your talk. And, you know, you just, and then they, if they come up and go, wait a minute, you have something, you know, kind of thing. And then that's another way that they might approach you. But the thing is, you know what you believe, and you know you know your truth.
They talk about work of the devil and stuff like that. But if they look at you and they'll say, well, you don't seem to be over on the evil side at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slow process.
Right. To me, that's a better way to teach people.
But you don't argue with people. You don't try to convince them or change them, because it's, It's a useless battle because it's too many years of the brainwashing.
Right.
When we've all been through that, mm-hmm. we had to start thinking for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about.
Not having somebody else tell us what to believe. We started reading and asking questions and what we believe
right.
ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. Okay, well, let me see. Let's get back to one thing we did want to bring up. It's been on the news a lot. A lot of people have been emailing us about this situation with the birds, and that's right here in Arkansas where we
right.
live.
It started here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where it started. Right on New Year's Eve.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you probably all heard about it. It happened New Year's Eve with all this. It's funny thing. It's just the one type of bird.
One type of bird in one location right where it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they said it happened again in Louisiana. Then it jumped all the way over to Sweden.
Well, and now they're saying Texas and Kentucky also.
Yeah.
So we don't have an idea what's going on yet.
See, since I've taken time off to write the books, I haven't had any more sessions. When I have the sessions is when I get my information and I can ask them what's going on.
I know. Wouldn't you know they, something would happen when you're taking a break?
Yeah. But they keep saying it has to do with fireworks. That doesn't make any sense at all because look at all the fireworks in July.
Right.
You don't have birds falling out of the sky. You have a lot more fireworks than you do on New Year's Eve.
Right.
So it's not that.
They're thinking the fireworks startled them. But again, like you said, yeah. Why would that? Why wouldn't it happen in the summer? So We don't know yet. We've had all kinds of different thoughts. People calling. I mean, emailing and calling with all kinds of different.
They have all
ideas,
kinds
so.
Of things that they're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we won't know for sure until we have a session and ask.
Right.
But what were they talking about? Oh, the one you said it was funny. They said when they examined the birds.
Right. They had blunt force trauma, you know, was the cause of death. Well, they just fell out of the sky and hit the ground.
That's blunt force.
Yeah, that's going to be blunt force trauma. I mean, just the hitting. I mean, what point can they tell what came from the hitting the ground and what happened before that? You know, I mean, how did
they
tell?
They said their organs are okay, but something happened. But, you know, the fish kill, no, that happens. They said that's not unusual.
Yeah, that could have been a lightning strike. And we did have some strange weather.
Well, we had tornadoes that night.
Yeah, we had some really strange weather. So, you know, we really don't have a clue, people. I don't think it's UFOs. If people want to say it's UFOs,
no.
Why would it be? I mean,
no, it's not.
Uh-uh.
Well, whenever we do find an answer,
yeah.
I will tell it on
yeah.
the show.
You'll be the first to know.
But something else that just came over the news just before the show had to do with the magnetic pole, and I think that's fascinating because it's in my books, the
mm-hmm.
Nostradamus books.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the scientists have proven now that the magnetic pole has moved, well, they said 40 degrees.
You think they said 40
well,
degrees.
That's what they said by thought, but we were talking to the man who runs this show and puts us on the air. He said he thought they said 40 miles.
He read it in an article that every year the magnetic pole moves 40 miles or 40 kilometers toward Russia. And 2 days ago, it did a bigger move
mm-hmm.
than that. So that was the unusual thing, was that it moved more than what it usually does.
And in my books on Nostradamus, he said where the new poles were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was going to be that direction. But they said that this is something the aviators, the pilots, have known for a long time that something is not right because their compasses aren't working right.
Well, like I was saying, the last few days I was driving in my car and it has a compass in the car. And it's like, and I realize they're not direct because you can't tell the variances of the degrees. But even within
especially in the mountains.
Right,
here.
Well, even, but you can tell. I mean, it's saying I'm going west and the sun is off over here to. Almost due left, but a lot of times it was between left and front of me. I'm trying to do south and east and all that stuff,
yeah.
But you know, and it's off to at an angle, and I'm like, wait a minute, it should be right here in front of me. I'm driving into the sunset. It should be in front of me. So.
Well, see, some of that has to do with the equinox too. You know, the Earth does tilt and the sun will be rising in different parts of the sky.
Well, that's why I just shrugged it off, because that's what I was thinking with stuff like that.
But they said the pilots have noticed their compasses aren't right anymore. And they said on the news that they're going to have to realign a lot of the runways in the airports because they guess they use the compasses to come in on that center line.
So if magnetic north, if the North Pole, so they're saying that eventually
magnetic
it will
magnetic north.
Magnetic North Pole, magnetic north.
Uh-huh.
Right now, I mean, what we've always thought was at the North Pole, right?
Yeah.
But it's gradually moving toward Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean eventually Russia will be the North Pole?
That's what Nostradamus says.
So it's going to get even colder there than what it is now.
Well, they keep saying
that. Well, they love the cold, so.
Well, they keep saying that the North Pole is melting.
Yeah,
the snow
right,
is melting.
Right.
Maybe that's part of it.
Because it's moving. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then that would be, you know, well, our friend Harriet probably knows exactly I was going to say, if that's the case, then its degrees would be like equivalent to, I'm trying to come up with a country that it might be equivalent to now, and it would probably start looking like what that country is. I'm not making sense. I'm moving the globe around in my head. So.
Well, anyway, it's interesting, though, that we had this information a long time ago. And, you know, we do know time is changing, speeding up, and the climates are definitely changing.
Oh, yeah.
The weather is not like it used to be at all.
Right.
So,
I still don't like cold. I'd like it to go ahead and hurry up and come. This is supposed to be the equator when this is done.
I'm ready
for that.
I don't think it's the equator, but anyway.
That's what I read. It's going to be close to here, and this will be a more temperate climate.
But anyway, we know the weather has changed since we've been here. We've been here 30, 40 years,
right.
And we know the
weather. Yeah, we don't have winters like we used to.
Yeah. So anyway, people, something out there is going on, and maybe it's becoming more noticeable now. But there's a whole lot of things happening, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we've got a little time here. Boy, time went faster than we thought. But I've been having so many emails. Like I said, people are emailing us all the time wanting to have answers, and I can't answer them all. So I was thinking what we might do tonight and do in the next week is answer some of these questions, because a lot of them ask the same questions over and over again, and the information is in the books, but a lot of times they don't see it or they haven't read it. Or they think they're the first one to ask the question.
Right. Well, and as we've been told, and as I've seen myself when I've read the books are in layers of information. So it could be you're just not on that layer yet of that information.
Yeah.
So.
People have said they've read my books several times, and each time they read it, they get a different something else out of it.
Right.
And people even see things in my books that I didn't even write.
Because that's on the other dimension. They're interdimensional books, didn't you know?
Well, that's what they say.
Uh-huh.
And you people know what I mean by they. They say that there's things in your books that you don't even know is there. Other people will pick it up.
Yeah, somebody beeped in.
Oh, somebody beeped? I didn't hear. Okay, somebody there?
Yes, I am here.
Hello.
Happy New Year, ladies.
Hello.
Oh, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Detroit area.
Another cold place.
Where we have lots of snow here.
And you like it, don't you?
The reason I'm... Pardon me?
You like the snow, don't you?
Well, I'm getting a little tired of it. I wouldn't mind if I ended up on the equator either.
I hear you.
Well, you got more snow on the way, they say, anyway.
Yeah,
okay,
I know.
Well, what's your question?
Okay, well, I actually was not planning on calling in, but the earlier caller, I think his name was Bo, he mentioned something which made me sort of, something I really never thought about, and that has to do with ascension, which I'm very much aware of, and... But your response about awareness, and I don't think I ever really correlated the relationship between ascension and awareness. I'm highly aware, but I never really got it in terms of because I had the same question, you know, how do you really know, you know, when you're on the path to ascension? I've always wondered that. And your answer just blew me away because awareness is something I'm troubled by because I'm so highly aware that I find it very difficult sometimes to really just deal with the world.
But then this helps explain why you're so aware.
Because there's a lot of people who haven't got a clue anything's happening at all.
Right, I mean, but it helps explain why you're so aware. You are ascending.
You know what? Sometimes I just say to myself, ignorance is bliss, you know, because
Once you've gone beyond that, though, you can never claim ignorance again. That's why sometimes Dolores will say, I'm only human. It's like, no, you're not, and you can't claim it anymore. You know, we're beyond that. We can't. We're not ignorant anymore. We know too much.
You can't unknow it.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
It's a struggle, though, isn't it?
Because you can't claim it anymore. You are responsible. Once you know you're responsible and you're accountable, sorry, you can't go back. You can't, but you've taken it on. But also within that, you've gained great, it's very empowering, you know, to know that you are responsible and you are accountable, you know, so in that way, I look at that side of it because to me, that gives me, puts me in the driver's seat.
Well, you know, rather absolutely. Than being the,
yeah, so.
Absolutely.
So I prefer to look at it that way. And yeah, and you can never claim ignorance again, so.
it's all about.
You know, go ahead.
It's sort of a lonely place to be because sometimes I just feel like, I find it difficult. Maybe it's just the people that I'm surrounded by or that I interact with, but I just feel like I'm the odd person out, and I find it, it is empowering, but at the same time, I guess sometimes I just don't know what to do with it. Because I feel isolated by it.
Right.
I think that's what Bo was asking, the question about how do you talk to the ones who were the real Christians and they're so deep in it. We're not supposed to try to convert them, but you're looking for somebody you can talk to who will understand what you think. But
live their life the way that with this philosophy.
Yeah.
Because it does. It takes on a whole different slant when you realize that you are the creator. You are in the driver's seat. You are doing these things. You are. You know. It takes on a whole different perspective. And
that everything that's in your life you have put there. You have created.
But I'm being reminded. Okay, I get this from time to time. Okay, I'm being reminded. Have you ever read any of the Kryon books?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you recall what Kryon says about light workers?
At this moment, I don't. So
okay, he calls light workers lighthouses, and they put that. You know, where do you see lighthouses?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see lighthouses in nice, cozy places among other lighthouses where they can all discuss things. You see them out on the peninsulas or the dark
oceans,
the craggly rocks, and that because they're shedding light for others to be able to come in safely to the area. And so you will usually find light workers in among, I'm getting all the confirmation chills, in among people that don't necessarily see this way. And it's because just by your being there, you are raising the vibration there, so that's helping these people. And so it is lonely. That's what I said. The work of a light worker is lonely, you know. But ever so often the lighthouses will get together.
If you know the parts of the book about the three waves, that's what I'm discussing, The second wave are the observers, but they're also the ones that come in with this tremendous amount of energy, and they give the energy to anybody they are around. They said they can just walk through a mall or a grocery store, and everybody that they even come near are receiving this tremendous amount of energy.
Right. They, yeah,
they don't have to project it. It's just there.
Yeah.
So sometimes that could be what it is. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be.
Right. You're just being there, and you live according to your beliefs and your views and what you know to be your truth, and that overflows on everybody around you in ways that you couldn't even fathom, and you don't have to say a word.
And that probably could act like a magnet, too, to attract other people who think just like you.
It does, yeah.
So you will have others coming into your your aura, I guess you would say, who believe like you.
Right.
That way
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think I just needed to hear this because, actually I do recall it with Cryon now. I mean, I read a lot. I've read most of your books, Dolores, and but sometimes, you know, it can get you down. It can weigh you down.
Sure.
It's lonely out there, but it's becoming less lonely because more and more people are really into this now.
Right.
And they're changing.
And it might be that you need to, well, like this, listening to this and joining with other people, but it might be that you, if you could get with in other groups or some from time to time, get in some kind of a thing where you can get around other people like this, and you know that you're not alone, and because you're not. You're not alone at all.
Right. But
there are groups
out
there.
Right. Yeah.
And when you're ready, the others will appear. They'll be there.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, just keep shining your light.
We're little bees, but
that.
It was her. Okay, there's no time to take any more.
Thank you. What was your name?
Thank you so very much.
Okay.
And have a happy New Year.
Oh, happy New Year to
bye-bye
you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's a good thing to say, keep shining your light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we aren't going to get to the question that the people sent from the emails. We can do that next week.
Right.
Because so many of them ask the same question. Mm-hmm. These are very good questions have been asking.
Yes.
Like she said, she got a lot from what Bo asked,
and
he's a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like she's been in it a little longer.
But it does. It gets long. Sometimes you wonder. I mean, and
you feel alone. You really do feel alone.
And also, I mean, even in, if you're wanting a relationship, it's like, how can I have one? I mean, it's hard to even fathom a relationship with in this whole scope, because everybody's on their own path kind of thing, and you're all growing and ascending, and we're working. You know, it's not so much we're working on it, it's just that you're on your courses, and it's hard to see yourself tied, because it's almost like, well, that might slow me down.
I'm
moving, I'm going, and stuff. So,
but if you can usually find somebody of like mind, if you need them.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say the Unity Church is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's several. Yeah,
that they have beliefs in this, and there's also many different organizations that do. You'll find them out there if you're looking.
Right.
In big cities, there's lots of different ones. Right. You can go to meetings and meet people who think like you do. Healing circles.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're coming up to time to stop. The hour goes so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we wish everybody Happy New Year out there. And where we are in 2011, and I don't know where 2010 went to. It evaporated on us.
Yes, it did.
Julie said she feels like a whole 6 months.
I don't feel it. I know it. 6 months just went gone. It was just gone.
No memory of it. It happened so fast.
Right. I mean, I remember us making trips. But I had, as far as day-to-day things that I was doing in there, I go back and none of that got done. Like, so 6 months were just gone. And
yeah, so time has definitely speeded up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, now we're in 2011 and there's a whole new year ahead of us. And we know from our own experiences it's going to be filled with wonderful, wonderful things happening out there.
Well, remember, we're the creators of our universes. We manifest our realities. so we can manifest 2011. Well, actually, it is a year of manifestation. So we can manifest what we desire, whatever
anything,
we choose.
Anything mm-hmm. you want in your life is possible. They keep saying there are no limitations. Only limitations are what you put on yourself. Anything is possible. Just you got to realize the power of your own mind is mm-hmm. tremendous. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to have to sign off before he pulls the plug.
Right.
Okay. But you can check on our website, Ozark Mountain Publishing, which is has a lot of information, my schedules mm-hmm. and everything, and about my classes. It's OZARKMT.com. Or if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. Okay, we'll be back here again next week. Just hope we don't all get snowed in.
Yep. We'll be here bundled up if we do.
Okay, everybody stay warm out there. Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night. Make it great.